Psychic Cowgirl Radio. This is your host, Reverend Shannon, the Psychic Cowgirl. I want to let you know that my intention with this show is to share information, practical cowgirl wisdom, and tools to aid you on your personal development journey. I have a bachelor's degree in metaphysics. I am an ordained minister with the Canadian International Metaphysical Ministry. I'm also a hypnotherapist, past life regression therapist, and an Akashic record reading practitioner. I'm a natural-born intuitive and psychic. It is genetic. I see and feel energies and connections. I use my talents and education to help clients become more aware of their own patterns, intuition, blocks in their life, and then to tap into energies to create what is their personal dream life. I believe in divine guidance, karma, and that intentions are key to any situation. I do offer clarity and understanding from a soul level perspective when you work with me. At times, a little guidance is all that we require to step into our power and move forward in our lives. You can find out more about me on my website, www.psychiccowgirl.com. I also have a Facebook page, Psychic Cowgirl, and I'm on Twitter as the Psychic Cowgirl. Please share any comments or questions through my Facebook page. I do answer the messages, or you could email me, Shannon@psychiccowgirl.com. I look forward to hearing from you all, and let's begin today's show. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. This feels a little different, but not overly so. I'm a day later and an hour earlier. Yesterday was quite the day. The kids went off to school, and I was getting ready for my day and, you know, starting all the business stuff, and the power started flickering and coming in and out a little bit, and I'm like, ooh, yeah, I have an appointment later, and my appointment is allergic to horses. I really need to have a shower so that I don't make her sneeze and her nose run. So I thought, oh, please, please let me get through my shower and at least blow dry my hair before this is out for the day. So I quickly hopped in the shower. It went out a couple times, but it came back on, and I managed to finish that. And then my phone rang when I was out, not for very long, though, and I answered it. It was my neighbor wanting to know if my power was doing the same as hers. I said, yeah. She goes, yeah, and it's just about to go out. And as soon as she said that, it was out, and it stayed out. Yeah. The blow dryer didn't happen. So then I phoned our power company, and I'm like, yeah, power's out. Any idea? And they said they were aware of the problem. They were sending someone out, but they had no idea. I'm like, great. Great, great, great. And then I got a text from another neighbor saying, yeah, had a shower, sitting here with wet hair. I'm like, yeah, me too. Yeah, nice, nice, nice. Anyways, I had a savior. I packed up my stuff and went to my girlfriend's house in Drayton Valley and finished getting ready for the day. I was very thankful for that. And I'm not even sure how long our power was off because I had a very busy day. I was away from home for most of the day. Last night we had parent-teacher interviews, and that went well. And then, as I was finishing my appointment in Drayton Valley yesterday, I got an email. So for those of you that have been listening to the show or follow my page and things like that, you are aware
that myself and a group of parents are on a mission for school bus safety, because our bus has a history of not being safe. It was in an accident September 19th, and that opened the door for us to really advocate and bring attention to the fact that this accident wasn't just a one-time thing. This was, you know, kind of a build-up of a progression of situations that should not have been happening if proper bus maintenance was happening. Seriously, our bus even caught on fire one day, a wheel falling off. Like, it's just crazy the things that happened. And when we tried to bring this to the attention of the transportation department, they had zero interest in listening to us. At one of the incidences, the bus had to come back to the school, and we'd had an event that day, so a lot of us parents were there and helping make sure the kids felt safe and everything was okay. And I tried to initiate a conversation with the director of transportation at that time. He pulled out his BlackBerry and started reading email. Not kidding. Not kidding. And at that time, you know, I didn't know what to do. I didn't have the knowledge. I didn't have the experience that I have now. When I took on the role of parent counsel for this year, I had no idea how that was going to go. I had no idea that this bus thing would become one of the major focuses. And being parent counsel chair, you know, does give me a little more credibility and cachet with the school division, which shouldn't be, but it is, so I use it. I should write a book when this is all over about my year as chair of the parent council. Luckily for me, I have amazing parents on this journey with me. Amazing parents. They make it delightful, right? Even when we're dealing with crazy things. One of my first events at the school as parent council chair was we put on like a meet the teacher barbecue, and we had like a little performance to help everybody get to know the teachers a little better. We went to the teachers and got interesting facts about them, and then the parents and the kids had to guess who we were talking about. That event was the very same day the accident was, and a lot of the parents helping me put on this event had kids on that bus. So we put on this event very well, I might add. Meanwhile, dealing with shock, dealing with having meetings with transportation, being pulled in and out, and like I can't even describe how amazing this group of people is, because we pulled it together in the room, like in the gym where we had the event. People would not have guessed what we had been through earlier in that day, because we pulled it together and we did what needed to be done and did it very well. So I am very fortunate that in my year as parent council chair, I have this group of people that are supporting us and we're working well together. We've really pulled together as a community about this school bus thing. We're a small school. So that kind of works against us, because our voices are not always taken as seriously, because when you do the statistics, right, we're only a small population compared to the rest of the school division. But we're loud. We've been loud. We're working at that. And so because we're a small school, there's only three buses that go to our school. And the other two buses do not have the issues that this bus has. Like, it's amazing when you compare the why. And when we have asked that question, we don't get a straight answer. So, as you know, last Wednesday when I was going to do the radio show, I didn't, because the school bus broke down in front of my house again. It's not the first time it's broke down in front of my house. A lot of the kids on the bus like it if it breaks down in front of my house, because they get to come play in my yard with playground equipment, you know, soccer. They get, you know, pet a cow, a horse, you know, things. And so I was dealing with that because, you know, some of the things that were going to happen didn't make sense safety-wise. And so I stepped in and said, no, this is how it really is going to go, because people get flustered. And that's understandable, right? I mean, and this has happened so often. Then that same school bus was supposedly fixed during the day and broke down on the way home. I did not have my children on the bus because I was still upset about the morning breakdown. But my friends did, and yeah, just not acceptable. And then we had a phone call with transportation, and they were on board, agreed with us. Things were looking great. And then they weren't. Now, this all plays into my topic, are you too nice? Because here's the deal. This is sticky, right? And we all end up in these kind of sticky situations. And you want to be a nice person. But you could also become a doormat, right? In our case, it's obviously very important because it's the safety of our children. And we all went through that phone call that the bus had been in an accident. And actually, a mom friend had phoned me first because she heard about it first. And we wouldn't want anyone else to ever go through that. And this contractor that we're dealing with has a number of buses in our school division. And it's not just our bus that has these issues. So, you know, in this case, we cannot be nice, right? There's a difference between courteous and respectful and being overly nice, right? There's a difference. We're, you know, taught to be nice. And we have to figure out what that means to us. Because, again, there's a difference between nice and then being a doormat. So what does nice mean to you? And it's kind of become like a word that we just use random, not even randomly. We use it a lot. But do we know what it truly means? And we can go look up the definition. But what does it mean to you? This is a personal thing. What does it mean when I'm nice? Does it mean that I don't throat punch someone who is lying to me? Absolutely. That's being nice. It's also being courteous and respectful. What about if someone asks me to do something for them and it doesn't fit and I can't do it because I have other commitments or I just don't want to and I say no? Is that being nice? Being nice to myself? But that's where we can get caught up in the nice, right? Oh, but I can't say no because they really need my help. Well, the truth is that, yes, they would like your help, but if you don't give you their help, if they're not getting the help from you, they will find another solution. So really, you're helping them with critical thinking. Just saying. That wanting to have the label of nice can create us to say yes when we want to say no. I remember a few years ago, I'd taken a class with this teacher, and this was when, you know, I was, like, really working hard at figuring out my gifts and talents, and I was taking classes and, you know, doing tons of research. I have several bookshelves full of books, and so I was, like, really excited. I took this class, and I loved it, truly loved it. Wasn't so sure I liked the teacher. And it wasn't that I didn't like her, but there was just something I wasn't sure about. But I thought, you know what? She's teaching this spiritual kind of material. She must have it going on. And maybe I'm just resisting, you know. Oh, you don't like someone or don't want to do what they want you to do. Maybe you're resisting. Sometimes true, sometimes not true. I thought, okay, well, you know, we'll see. And so then there was the next portion, and I took that too, and it was a smaller group. There was only five of us. And, the teacher who was teaching us showed a little bit different side of herself, which was intriguing. She wanted to do this session with me that she didn't offer to anybody, any other classes, but she really felt we could use it. And I wouldn't let her. I wouldn't let her in because I didn't trust her. I'm very aware of who gets to go in my energy and who does not. very aware. And I didn't trust her, and I wouldn't let her do it. Yet we did, we broke off into groups, and my partner in the group, I let him, because I trusted him a little more. And so that was really interesting to me, because, you know, I'd been working really hard on this journey, and learning about myself was what I was up to, and then, you know, going to translate that into how I could help other people. And I thought, wow, really cool. And then she had another class that was available, and I really wanted to take it, but I couldn't fit it in. And she even changed the date, and I tried my best. But every time I was, you know, I cleared some roadblocks so I could take it, something else would happen. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I mean, I'm learning about all this, follow the signs, understand the universe. I'm not supposed to be there. Okay. As it turned out, though, I ended up having an appointment in the city, and I stopped in to see my friends that were taking that class. Well, she wasn't very happy about that. There ended up being definitely some energy conflicts there. And then I find out later that she was kind of, not even kind of, see, I'm trying to be nice about it, but she was bashing me pretty hard to some of my friends. I don't know why I threatened her, but I did. And so I'd had plans with some of my friends that were there to go for coffee after. And she invited herself, and she said some pretty snarky things to me. One of the snarky things she said, and I reacted, I said something back, and she's like, oh, that wasn't very nice. Do you really want me to think you're not nice? And in my head, I'm like, yeah, I don't care what you think. Then she says, oh, I just say these things so that I can trigger people for their own self-healing. No, you say these things because you're kind of a bitch. Like, you can sugarcoat it in the spiritual philosophy or that I'm trying to help other people. But the bottom line is, no, you aren't trying to be nice at all. Anyways, that was one of the first experiences I had of someone who's in a role as a mentor, teacher, spiritual guide, guru, whose intentions didn't exactly match what she was teaching. It wasn't long after that, actually, that she does not teach that anymore, because she had a falling out with the creator of the program, which I thought was interesting, because she bashed her during our classes, which I didn't think was respectful, but again, none of my business. So it's an intriguing thing, right? So had I had two choices, right, when I was dealing with this situation. I could have just decided, oh, but, you know, she's a spiritual guru teacher. She must know what she's talking about. I must be the, you know, one not living up to my spiritual standards or something. But it wasn't true for me personally. So when it comes to being nice, figure out what it means to you. We can martyr ourselves because being nice becomes like a mantra. Oh, I have to do that because I don't want people to think I'm not nice. Because when someone says to you, you're not very nice, I mean, seriously, it starts in the schoolyard, right? Starts on the playground when we're little. Oh, you're not nice to me. How often do kids come home to their parents or say to their teachers, oh, so-and-so wasn't very nice to me today? It becomes this stigma, kind of, that if you're not nice, well, then you must be a horrible human being. I met a horrible human being yesterday, believe me. Nice has nothing to do with it. So let's explore, like, why, okay, so if we look at a situation, so this is where you pay attention to your own energies, how you're feeling, what you're thinking. So a situation comes up, and you really want to tell someone what you're thinking. Now, there's a way to do this that's not explosive. There's a way to do this calmly, like really ground your energy, and then say what you need to say, you know, in a calm, effective manner. Because as soon as you start yelling, which we do because we get all worked up because we have all this built-up resentment and anger, but it doesn't get us anywhere. Now, a good example I have is because we had a meeting last night with the director of transportation, the contractor for our bus, which we've never met before, and we all really wanted to. We wanted to see if she was who we thought she was. Oh, yeah. And so there was 8 of us parents in this meeting, which, considering we're such a small school and the meeting was at 5 o'clock and a lot of people are still working, I was impressed. And mostly couples, which is really good because, I mean, the reality is if we can get the dads in, it gives moms more credibility. I know, ridiculous, but true. And it was very, very interesting. And I am so proud of my parent friends, so proud of them, because the answers we got from this contractor were lies. She laughed at us at one point that we were concerned. She was extremely rude. Really, really didn't not want to answer to us at all. So that's the lies. And it did get heated, but it didn't get explosive heated. And seriously, this is the safety of our children every day, twice a day. And, you know, not everybody has the luxury of being able to drive their children in. It costs money, right? Not everybody has an extra, you know, $100 a week or every 2 weeks to pay for gas. And the school act states that the school division agrees to provide transportation. I need to read that again to see if it says safe transportation. If it does not, I'm going to write some letters because that should be added. School act says they're legally obligated to provide us transportation to and from school if we live more than 2.4 kilometers out. This is not happening in this situation. We asked her how many other bus routes she has, and her answer was, I don't need to tell you that. Well, we already know, honey. Like, seriously, transportation has to be transparent with us. That's their mandate. So it was very enlightening, and I'm so proud of our group. We didn't freak out. We didn't yell. I mean, it got heated for sure, and one of the parents did say a pasture word, but it wasn't a major one, and he did apologize for that. But he said, you have to understand, these are our children. There's nothing more precious than this cargo. It's not like you're hauling lumber, right? So this, you know, I guess one of the things that this has brought up when I speak about this to other parents and friends is a lot of them are really impressed that we're not backing down. And, you know, it gets to that nice can become an excuse, right? Well, I'm just too nice to tell them what I really think. That's not nice. And, again, look at your own definition. Because we're trained, you know, we're told not to use our voice unless you're saying something nice. If you can't say something nice about someone, don't say anything at all. Well, I understand where that premise comes from, but people, we have to use our voices more. It's like voting. You need to get out there and vote. Because people need to be held accountable for what they're doing. And the way I look at it is, if you don't say anything and don't use your voice, are you willing to accept what the consequences could be? Our parent group is not. We will continue fighting this. What we really want is for her not to have our bus contract. It would be really great if she completely retired and sold her buses to someone with integrity. That would be the best case scenario. Who'd be willing to spend the money to maintain. Now, I don't know her financial situation. I do know they get paid extremely well, extremely well, to have a bus route. Yes, fuel is expensive. Yes, they have to pay a driver. And yes, they have to maintain the bus. The money's there to do that. The money's there to do that, without a doubt. And so, you know, you have to be holding people accountable. You have to really examine if being nice and keeping your mouth shut is really the best idea in the big scheme of things. Sometimes no, or sometimes holding someone responsible and accountable for their actions is the way to go. Now, I need to share something really cool with you. So I was, like, seriously up all night, not all night, but I was writing a lot of letter emails to transportation in my sleep last night because, you know. So when I did my Oracle card this morning for my Facebook page, it was fantastic. It was the Rainbow Prince. So it says, when this Rainbow Prince appears as your ally, he reminds you about the law of compensation and the law of receiving. It says, after the rainstorm you've endured on your journey, the Rainbow Prince brings you a pot of gold, which is the result of your using all the elements of your inner light and reaching into the sky until you touch the material realm from one end to the other. This isn't always an easy process, and hard work must be rewarded by compensation. Now, I love that part, right? Now, it's mystical and magical, absolutely, but if we make it practical, when you endure these rainstorms, when you make it through and you're in your integrity and you're fighting for something you believe in, there is rewards and compensations when you get through it. Perseverance pays off and your reward will be greater than you can imagine. I can't tell you how delighted I was to get this card this morning for all of us. Here's the thing. When you open your voice and you're doing it from a place of integrity and letting go of that belief that you have to be nice, you do get rewarded. You do. My husband is a lot more easygoing than I am. Yeah, I'm a little fiery. And I know that when he opens his mouth and fights back, when it's something he believes in and it's, you know, something important to him, there's always a reward that comes with it. It's really, really cool. And it happens all the time. And that is the universe having his back to say, you know what? We got this. It's okay, you know? Because he is truly a nice guy, you know, and he doesn't say no. He has a hard time with that. And boundaries, yeah, we work on that. He's getting a lot better, which is good. Good for him because, you know, not saying no definitely stretches yourself too thin, right? So, nice, yeah. If I feel a little squirrely today, every day, right? It's just, you know, there's a lot going on for us right now with this bus thing. But you know what? We'll get through it. We'll figure it all out. And hopefully, by sharing this journey that we've all been on, we'll help other parents advocate and do their, you know, part in creating bus safety for themselves. Because this is, you know, probably not just province-wide. It's probably, you know, everywhere. You know, money and the inconvenience is more important than the safety of the children. I mean, the oil patch that a lot of our families are involved in my area has way more safety regulations than school buses. Sad but true. Sad but true. I'm really happy that we got to meet with the director of transportation and the contractor last night because it was eye-opening. Eye-opening. And I would not want the director of transportation's job. I do feel a lot of compassion for him because he just took the job. He got hired in November after all this happened in September and then started in January 1st And, you know, like I said to him the other day, did they fill you in on what all this would entail? Did they give you the backstories? And he laughed and said, no. I mean, it is a lot. He has a lot on his plate, and I can understand that. But bottom line, he has to understand that we're advocating for safe bus rides. And that has to happen. It just has to happen. I believe in karma. We know how the universe can work. You get some wake-up calls, and then what? Right? What happens when we don't listen to our messages from the universe? They get louder and louder and louder, right? I don't want this to get so loud that it ends up in a tragedy. So let's ponder this. This is, you know, this has come into my energy this last week because I think about this, and I actually was talking to someone about it one day. So we know that when we don't listen to our messages from the universe, they get louder. They get louder. They get louder so that we have no choice but to pay attention. So let me ask you all this, and I would love your input on this. Like, what do you think? Like, you know, insights would be good, because I'm definitely emotionally attached to this, definitely emotionally attached. So I can't always see it clearly, right? I know what I want to have happen, and actually a lot of what we want to have happen has happened, so there's hope. We do have a different bus causing us all the grief and breaking down all the time is now off the road and a backup bus. We have a different bus that picks up our children morning and night. So yay, right? We got something done. There was consequences for that contractor for what has been happening. Not just she'll admit to it because she flat out lies to us about everything, but still something happened, so there's hope. So back to my pondering. As I said, the universe sends us messages. If we don't listen, they get louder and louder and louder. So my concern and wondering, and again, please send me your insights if you have any. So we have a different bus. She has a bus on order, and she tried to tell us last night that, look, I heard your concerns. I've ordered a new bus, but that's not true. She ordered a new bus because the lifespan of this bus was done at the end of the school year. She had no choice to keep her contract with transportation to get a different bus on this route. Two of them, actually, because it's this route and another route. So, yeah, nice try. I said, yeah, but you had to order that bus. Oh, well, yeah. Like, don't try to tell us that you're such a good-hearted person, because we're not buying it. One of the parents even commented on how bad her attitude was. Yeah. Anyways, so here's what I'm wondering. So if the universe is trying to get the attention, and so there's breakdown after breakdown after breakdown, and I would like to know about the rest of her fleet of buses. I've heard that the one that's in our area but a different school has just as many problems as ours, so I need to talk to some of those parents, I believe. So breakdown after breakdown and maintenance not being done. We had a close call. It was an accident, and luckily everybody was okay. But it was far too close a call considering it involved our children. So did she listen at that point and, you know, make some changes? No. No. So the bus keeps breaking down. We keep fighting with transportation about it. So if she does not change the way she's doing business, is something worse going to happen? Now, she has a fleet of 10 buses. So it might not be our bus in particular, but it could be one of her other buses. Now, is that what has to happen for this to change? What do you guys think? Like, is that how this is going to go? Or will the fact that she switched out our bus in particular change the energy of it? That's what I'm hoping, right? because we know that there's soul contracts. We know that we contract with certain people to have certain experiences. But if we learn from the experiences we've already had, some experiences won't happen. What I mean by that is, okay, so I have a first marriage that didn't go well. And I took the time after that ended to really figure out what went wrong. Definitely, I mean, it was all about my part in it. I mean, he played a role, right? Him and I had a soul contract for this to happen. Whether he looked at his own actions or not, that's none of my business. None of my business. I needed to look at myself so I didn't attract the same kind of relationship. If I wouldn't have done that work, I would have attracted the same kind of a relationship until I got it, right? I did do the work. I did make changes. I did become aware of my, like, how I ended up in that situation. And so I changed, I guess I could look at it as I changed some of my destiny, because in doing that, I didn't have to have another relationship that was similar. Does that make sense? So when I apply that to this bus situation, I guess because our big fear is that something worse happens. That, you know, she's let this slide. I mean, her attitude, she's not going to change anything. So I'm praying about it a lot. I just put on the Psychic Housewives group that I adore, help. Does anybody have any powerful prayers for the highest good of all involved that I can use in this situation? I mean, I've used the Ho'oponopono before, but I'm using that for another situation, so I want something else. I am using the Buddhist prayer of kindness, that may you be safe, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you live life with ease. But I'd like something that has a little more punch, a little more power, just because I'm worried, right? I'm worried. I, you know, didn't sleep very well last night. I mean, I slept better than I think I did because I feel rested. I just feel like my mind is a bit busy. Good thing my clients today are guided meditations. Although I have to say, even if I'm sick or lack of sleep, it doesn't affect my energy work because it's not me doing it. I'm the channel, right? So that's quite fabulous, really. But I'm interested. I'm concerned. Like, what if, right? What if? And how could we change that? Or can we? Can we? Like I said, I'm very emotionally attached to this situation, so I'm not sure. I've tried, you know, doing the observer thing, like if this was happening to somebody else. If it was happening to somebody else, I would say to them, any change is a good and will create a ripple effect. And I would advise them to do exactly what I'm doing. Pray, right? Send healing light energy to this situation because miracles happen that way. But if any of you have any ideas, please share them for our group. We're small, right? There's only 8 to 10 of us, and we're doing our best, but in a school division of like thousands and thousands, hundreds and thousands of, you know, students, parents, we're a small voice. But it's important. And we don't feel the urge to be nice. Just thought I'd throw that in there. So yeah, it's interesting. And the universe does have our back. So that part, I'm good with. And I do feel that there's going to be a resolution. I do, you know, rumor has it from other contractors is that she is going to give up this contract. That's great. And I want that to happen. I really, really do. But at the same time, I want the rest of the kids in our school division to also be safe. But I guess, you know, we keep applying the pressure and we share our story, other parents can, you know, do it for their school too. So that will work. It's a little heartbreaking. It's a whole lot frustrating. You know, it's amazing actually how she reacted to our questions last night and how much she lied. That's her choice, right? That's how she chooses to live her life, not my problem. How she manages her business and finances is not my problem, except for when it affects my children. So we'll see. I'll definitely keep you all posted on that. So let's see. Let's talk about something a little bit happier. What can I share with you that's on a happier scale? This weekend we're going bull shopping. That's a happy thing for us. I don't know how many of you know about the Speckle Park breed. They're the little black and white colored animals, and they're adorable. If you follow my Facebook page, you've seen Iris, the calf that is now mine, that was born about a month ago maybe, because my oldest son and I had a deal. He took my last Speckle Park heifer as his 4-H project, and the deal was that when he had a Speckle Park heifer from one of his cows in his personal herd, because we claim and name our animals because it's fun for us, that she was mine. Well, his cow had the most adorable little heifer, and I do believe he may have said a pasture word as he was tromping through the bush looking at her. Just a minor one. They're allowed to say that one in the pasture, because when you're chasing cows, sometimes you have to say shit. And there's a lot of it out there, so why not, really? And she is the most adorable calf ever. So now he's trying to convince me that he should have her as a 4-H heifer. Again, I have to give up, and I'm like, no, I'm going to stick to this one because she's so adorable. So adorable. And besides, it's entertaining for us. We love our cows. Our cows definitely make us happy. Looking out in the pasture and walking out to check them and just seeing the baby calves running around and the moms being so protective and taking good care of them, it makes my heart happy. Definitely makes my heart happy. And the other fun thing we get to do is, I can't remember if I ever told you guys this, but I won a horse. I mean, I paid for it because it was an online auction bidding thing, and I get to go pick it out as soon as I can get my act together and have some time to go and pick it out from the herd. I get to choose, so that's exciting. We're hoping to do that. I don't even know if we'll get to it this month because we have 4-H and a lot of busyness with that. Any of you in the Drayton Valley area, the show and sale is on May 25th. You can come and see a Speckle Park heifer or two or three. I believe there's three. Other kids have them, and they're adorable. You should come just to pet them if you're in my area. So cute. So that's exciting for us. I want to maybe touch on again about, like, the card that come up. When you take a stand and it's sticky, and like a rainstorm, the rewards do come. You may not see them right away. It may not be a reward that you think, because lots of times it's an energetic thing, and you know what that reward can be a lot of times? Confidence. Priceless, right? We get that extra layer of confidence. I can tell you for myself, I probably wouldn't have taken a stand like this 5 years ago. I would have been not confident enough, honestly, not confident enough. So, you know, I talk about the personal improvement, personal development, and I offer the coaching program for this. I'm proof that it works. Even 3 years ago, I probably wouldn't have taken a stand like this. But the universe aligned. I was guided to, you know, take over and be the parent council chair. And then the fundraiser president, which the positions are like the same person does both. Because we had a casino, and that's important to raise money for our school, I had no idea that it was also because of this bus situation. The confidence that I'm, you know, building, and, you know, every time we get our point across and there's change created, it helps everybody, right? I can't tell you how many parents have said to me, you know, we're really paying attention to how this goes for you guys because we have a similar situation. I was feeling a little Aaron Brockovich one day because I actually got a implied, no, it wasn't an implied threat, it was a flat-out threat. I was, it was told to me, it's such a juicy story. You know, I should write a book about this after. Might need to find a ghostwriter because I'm really sucky at editing. So I can tell this story, but I don't know about writing it all down. There was this comment made that if we didn't accept and just, you know, shut up a little more about all this, that there would be no bus in our area, and I personally would be to blame. Nice, right? So then I did read the school act, a little light reading one evening, and legally they have to provide transportation. But I thought, well, I mean, I know where it came from. It's because I did not back down. I was hearing excuses and reasons and excuses and reasons, and, you know, a lot of them were really quite good, really quite good. But that the bottom line was no. And I made sure at the end of our conversation that this person knew my stance, because I am speaking for the group of parents, because we have conversations about it constantly, right? Constantly. And, yeah, I thought that's really interesting that, you know, this person's frustration came out so much. Never should have said that to me. That was a line that was crossed that you can't uncross. Yes, I understand you're feeling the pressure, and I will be compassionate about that to a point. But this is far too important. So, yeah, it's interesting, all the stuff going on with this. So if you all want to send us some good vibes for it, I would absolutely appreciate. We could use some blessings. It's a bit of an uphill battle, but I'm confident. Confident we're going to get through it. So look at yourself. Are you too nice? Or do you have healthy boundaries where you can say no, even if it feels uncomfortable and you kind of feel like you should say yes, but you know in your energy that saying no is what's best for you. And if you don't, practice it. Just say no and then go do something else and work through how you feel about it. Because the first few times you actually do it, it does feel a bit sticky and it feels easier to say yes. But then that builds anger and resentment, and guess where that lives, honeys? In your tummy. Yep, that beer gut has a whole new meaning now, doesn't it? Anger and resentment, I'm telling you. All right. Well, I'm going to play our chakra balancing, probably because I need it the most after our crazy craziness. And so I will be back next week, hopefully Wednesday. Not sure. Kind of have to be flexible these days, so we'll see how it goes. So I'm going to wish you all a fabulous rest of the week. And I hope you figure, I'm going to send you blessings to figure out on what nice means to you.
This is a meditation to balance and cleanse our chakras. I'd like you to sit up straight, have your feet flat on the floor, nothing crossed. Give yourself a nice breath in and out. I would like you to visualize or imagine deep, thick roots growing out the bottom of your feet, deep, deep into Mother Earth. Feel yourself grounding and connecting with Mother Earth. With those deep, thick roots. Nice breath in and out. Now, imagine or visualize a white ball of energy coming up from each of those roots into the bottom of your feet. Visualize or imagine those balls of light traveling up your leg. You may feel a warm, tingling sensation. Move those balls of light up your leg, through your shin, past your knees, up your thighs, higher, higher. And then both balls of white light are going to join together at your root chakra, at your pelvis. Your root chakra deals with feelings and energies of having the right to be here. The root chakra is symbolized as red. I want you to imagine or visualize a red ball. Symbolism is personal, but I want you to have something that you're focusing on. So if it's a red ball, I want you to start spinning it until it's bright, shiny, shiny red. Right now it may look cloudy or dirty. It may be really big or it may be really small. I want you to spin this ball of energy until it's shiny, bright, sparkly red. Spinning, spinning. The root chakra deals with energies of money, career, home, needs, and possessions. So it's really important to have this one balanced. I want you to spin it, spin it, spin it until it's bright and shiny. If you are having trouble visualizing or imagining, Archangel Raphael will be there to help you. Archangel Raphael is also going to vacuum away all the cruddy energy that comes off your chakras. So spinning, spinning, spinning. We like to give this one a really good cleanse. Spin it just a smidge more. Fantastic. You are doing great. Okay? Now this one is all shiny clean and it's in your body. Again, there's no way to do this wrong. Now I want you to move up to your sacral chakra, which is located midway between your pelvis and the base of your spine. This one's an orange ball of light. I want you to spin that one. This is where we have our feelings and emotions. Let's spin that one until it's bright, shiny orange. This is where we are able to set boundaries when we have this one balanced. Feeling joy. Let's really spin that one and give it a nice big cleanse. Spinning, spinning. Spinning, spinning. For all of us that have trouble saying no at times, you can feel why it would be important to have this one balanced. Excellent. Give it a few more spins until it's bright, shiny orange. You guys are doing fabulous. Okay, now that that one feels good, move up again to our solar plexus chakra. This one is the yellow one. This one is where we can make choices. We set our intentions through this one and have our will to do things. It involves self-direction, self-esteem, and the power of transformation. So let's spin this yellow light until it's bright, shiny, and sparkly clean. Spinning, spinning. Nice. Focus on spinning that one a little more. Perfect. I can feel all the energies flying off to be vacuumed away. We're going to feel so good after this. All right. So now that one's all shiny, let's move up to our heart chakra. This one's green. This one deals with love and I give, I care, forgiveness, generosity. So let's spin this heart chakra until it's shiny green and infused with sparkles. We want to have a pretty heart chakra. And spinning, 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 spinning. Fabulous. Let's keep spinning that one. You're doing great. Spin it some more. Feels like everybody's is nice and sparkly, shiny. Okay, great. Now, if that one's back in place, let's move up to our throat chakra. This one is blue. We're going to spin that ball of light energy until it's shiny. This is the one where we have expression, where we listen, where we can communicate. It's all about using our voice. So let's spin, spin, spin this one. We can communicate clearly. Spinning, spinning. Fantastic. If you find that your throat chakra feels out of balance often, grab a sodalite or a lapis lazuli. Those stones will really help with that. I wear them when doing the radio show. It's really, really helpful. Kate, let's spin that one just a little bit more. You're doing fantastic. Okay, now that that one's all clean, let's move up to our third eye chakra located in our foreheads. This one has to do with telepathy, intuition, imagination, visualizing, all that good stuff that you've been doing. So this one is the darker purple color, and we're going to spin it until it's very sparkly. Nice. Keep spinning. Our intuition's located here, so we like to have this one clean so we can get our messages right. Keep spinning. Excellent. Spinning. Perfect. Kate, now that it's nice and shiny, clean, deep purple. I see a lot of yours as deep purple. Beautiful. Okay, let's move up to our crown chakra located at the top of our head. Now this one is a pale violet, or you might see it as clear. We're going to spin that ball of light until it's bright, shiny, clean, and sparkly. This is where our psychic and intuitive abilities can be found. Our faith, our connection to the divine, ability to trust life, values, ethics, courage. Lots of stuff happened in this crown chakra. So let's spin that one until it's really, really clean. Excellent. Great, you guys have been working on this. This one was pretty clean. Okay, so let's put that one where it's supposed to go. And remember, there's no way to do this wrong. Just the act of listening to my voice and doing this exercise will create the energies, and it will happen. It's as simple as that. Let's visualize or imagine that ball of light again, just right above your head, and then you're going to move it down through your face, down through your neck, down through your chest, down through your pelvis. That ball of light's going to break into two, and each ball of light is going to go down your thighs, past your knees. You're going to feel refreshed, able to focus. You're going to have a lot of clarity after this meditation. Continue sending that ball of light through past your knees, down your shin, and out the bottoms of your feet, and ground you deep into Mother Earth. And then you can bring your awareness back to the room, back to your body. Meditation is about doing what feels natural to you. You're letting the energy do the work. Takes a little trust, takes a little faith, but if you practice it, you can come back to this meditation anytime and replay it. Have an excellent day. You've been listening to Psychic Cowgirl Radio with your host, myself, Shannon Lackman. If you'd like to learn more about me and what I offer, please go to my website, www.psychiccowgirl.com. All my sessions and services are listed there. If you would like to get a deal, tell me that you've listened to the radio show and use the code word, use the code word Raphael, and you will automatically get 20% off, because I will know that you've been listening to the radio show. I wish you all a most excellent day, and I hope you tune in soon.